Years ago, John Wesley Harding recorded a ballad about an abandoned baby boy who gets adopted by the richest man in the world. In an unusual turn of events, the man raises the boy as a girl. Soon enough, adolescence sets in, and misfortune follows. That song has inspired a novel by Wesley Stace called Misfortune. Wesley Stace and John Wesley Harding happen to be one and the same. The singer, songwriter, and new novelist are all in our studios in New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And can I bring us back a bit? Can I ask you to sing a bit of the song?
Absolutely. Here is the song as it originally appeared in 1997, but I'm going to sing it without the aid of accompaniment. This is The Ballad of Misfortune. I was born with a coat hanger in my mouth. I was dumped down south. I was found by the richest man in the world. He brought me up as a girl. My sheets are satin, but my mind's a mess. But there are worse things, I confess, than drinking tea in a pretty dress. And I'm here to tell you it's not all bad. Count your blessings, maybe you'll be glad. When he died, I inherited his wealth, and I revealed myself. I was snubbed by friends he'd never had. They sided with my dad. Now all my riches are beyond control, but it's the same old rigmarole. They say I've lost my very soul, but I'm here to tell you that it's not all bad. Count your blessings, maybe you'll be glad. And as I grew, so did my fame. So I gave it up and changed my name. It's Catch as Catch Can, and you'll never know who I am, who I am. When I died, I hoped to hear the angels' song. But was I wrong? They threw me back there in that lane. They said, start again. So when you're turning off your bedside light, consider me and my wretched plight. Looks like I'm gonna have to get it right this time. But I'm here to tell you that it's not all bad. Count your blessings and you'll be glad. Count your blessings, maybe you'll be glad.
Mr. Stace, thanks very much.
Thank you. That was a first and possibly an only performance of it in that way.
do I call you Mr. Stace or Mr. Harding when you're singing?
Wesley's fine, I think. Let's go
okay,
for it.
All right. What stayed with you about the song that made you want to bring it into another dimension?
The moment I started thinking about it as a novel, I realized that things I've been doing for years in a song, for example, take the first four lines. I was born with a coat hanger in my mouth, dumped down south, found by the richest man in the world. He brought me up as a girl. In a song, because of the way songs have to be pithy, that's a very, well, you know, it's straight to the point, and it tells you the story, it lays it out, and you don't need more than that in a song. But in a novel, of course, you need completely believable characters who you can empathize with, sympathize for, and those characters need to have motivations that make their behavior understandable and therefore sympathetic. So immediately I found myself in a world where I was justifying the behavior of bringing a boy up as a girl. And so that made me have to think of the father figure in a new way and give him a life and clothes and a house and a motivation to do this. So really it took the story that, as with many of my songs, comes from various dreamlike sequences that I might write down not quite knowing where they're going. And then I put the very flamboyant and, you know, crinoline over the skeleton of that original song, the blueprint that I wrote 15 years ago.
What made you, when you write the novel, make this a story of 19th century London and the upper classes?
Obviously, the first line of the song, Coat Hangers, the coat hanger was invented in 1903. I know this for a fact. So obviously, the song...
It postdates your song, doesn't it?
Exactly. But in my mind, the coat hanger is obviously a... you know, it's a symbol of an abortion taking place in a society that does not condone abortion as a good thing, which is why it's happening in a back street with a coat hanger. Mm-hmm. To me, in my mind, though the word coat hanger was there, it was always a world of Victorian squalor that first verse took place in, as the second verse and the house he's taken to was a house of masterpiece theatre size and grandeur and British glory. So in my mind, it always took place in the past, and I'm very fond of and always have been very attracted to the world of Dickens and Trollope and Thackeray, and I suddenly realized that I could kind of give back to those novels that I liked a new kind of plot.
Let me ask you to read a section of the book, if you could.
Okie dokie. You know who I am, but perhaps you don't know my name. Rose Old. I was unwanted at birth and thrown away, evidence best disposed of. If you consider that, bloodily new to the world, I was bound for a dusty grave, and that I was saved only by a distracted boy and a stray dog, it's a miracle that I lived an hour, let alone as long as I have. Who'd have imagined I'd live to tell the tale, as it were? Fortune patted me on the head at an early age, but it wasn't all walks and treats. We had a complicated relationship. What else do you know? Well, you know that I'm alive now, unless I'm telling this story from beyond the grave. Well, I'm old, but I'm not that old, and I'm not going to die in my story, unless I do it with the last full stop. That would be acceptable. After all, I haven't finished yet, and I can't see the future any more clearly than you can. Rose Old, alive.
Lord Geoffrey Lovell. Am I pronouncing that correctly, or should I say Joffrey?
That's good.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. Lord Joff's fondest plans for his future and a future together with Rose are undone by that nettlesome problem called adolescence, which undoes so much in life under any circumstance. But let me get you to talk about that a little bit.
To me, Misfortune is a coming-of-age novel, and in a coming-of-age novel, it's all completely normal. The worries are, am I growing up right? Do I like boys and girls? Is my father looking at me funny? Mm-hmm. Am I competitive with my mother? Am I going to be a success? Why am I so shy, and why do I have these feelings of self-consciousness as my body is changing? And they're all completely normal things in any coming-of-age novel. Yet, in Misfortune, what happens is there is this extra level because of this secret that is being kept from Rose, who lives in this hothouse environment of Love Hall, where Rose, he, is not allowed out. And, you know, all the paintings with sexual identification are taken away off the walls. And as in those days, boys didn't wear trousers till they were 12 or 13 years old. There's pretty much a picture of every king of England wearing a dress at the age of about 12, you know, and...
With respect to Britain, as we know, sometimes they didn't stop at the age of 12, did they?
No. I just heard a song called Masculine Women, Feminine Men, of which one of the lines was, ever since the Prince of Wales in dresses was seen, what does he intend to be, a king or a queen? Song I've just introduced into my set.
Writing novels, do you ever miss writing something that can be done in a day, even a few hours, like a song?
It's actually a beautiful thing to be able to do both those things, because there was definitely something with writing songs that I could literally write a song in the daytime, and then if I had a gig that night, I could play it, and with any luck, people would applaud or laugh and enjoy it, and there would be a terrific sense of fulfillment. And that's something writers simply don't have. I mean, even with the culture of readings, you know, there just isn't that ecstatic release that there is at a gig. And just on the way here, you know, I was jotting down a little song in the back of a book that I was reading, and I was just thinking, wow, this song's kind of finished. I wrote this song on the subway. And, of course, you can't really write a novel on a subway.
Mr. Stace, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. I was born with a coat hanger in my mouth. I was dumped down south.
Wesley Stace, author of Misfortune. You can hear more songs from Mr. Stace and read an excerpt of his John Wesley Harding when he sings, and an excerpt of his novel on our website, npr.org.
My mind's a mess, but there are worse things, I confess, than drinking tea in a pretty dress, and I...